Welcome to Off the Cuff. I'm Dean Vitale, sitting here with our lifelong pastor, John Bell. And what we do here is we come up with a question, and then John answers that question, and then that usually leads to more questions. And this is a production of Amazing Men Ministries, and this is another way to reach out people to people. And you can listen on your, in your car on the way to work. And we make this available on our website, which is AmazingMenMinistries.com. You can check out our social, Instagram at Amazing Men Ministries. And at Facebook, you can check us out at Amazing Men Ministries. And on X, which is Amaze, M-A-A-Z, Man, M-A-N, Ministry. So, welcome, John. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good. So this is, I like these questions, because I always have questions about these questions. So here's the question for today. John, why did God give us four Gospels?
You're saying instead of one, just one. Why did the Holy Spirit break it down into four instead of... So one of the things...
Or five, or six.
Okay, all right, good. Okay. Most people would say... Here's what people try to do, Dean. One of the things that people try to do, and I have books on my shelf like this. I have books, and I remember even taking a class, and it was called Harmony of the Gospels. And basically... what they do is, and I have one called 72 Steps from the Birth to the Cross. And it just traces like a chronology of the life of, actually, it's not the life of Jesus. First off, the Gospels, we don't have a life of Jesus. We have, we have 3.5 years of his ministry. We have his birth. We have him at 12 years of age. Right? That's when we should. And the next time we see him, he's about 30. And then he has a ministry for 3.5 years. But those years that we don't have, they're called the silent years. So, we don't have, all we have really is the ministry of Jesus. And one of the things I would say is people that put together a harmony of the Gospels or a chronology of the Gospels, they're kind of missing the point of the Gospels. The four Gospels are portraits of Christ, right? And they're different portraits. They're not the same. So the simplest way to think of it is like this. If I wanted to show you a building, right? And if I were saying, Dean, I want to show you this building. So I take a shot from the front. You'd say, what about the other two sides in the back, John? There's four sides to a building. Could you take four shots of that building? Because now you get a full dimensional instead of a one dimensional picture. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
All right. So if we look at the Gospels, each one of them is something about the ministry of Jesus, and it takes four Gospels really to capture all that he is. So we're going to talk about this, we're going to continue this for a few sessions here. So let me just introduce it like this. Each of the Gospels highlights or focuses on a different aspect of who Christ is. So let's take a look at the very first one. The very first one is Matthew. And Matthew is presenting Jesus as the king, okay? And we know right away from the very first verse that he's being presented as the king. Here's the first verse of Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. This is the book of the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So who does he start with first? He starts with David. Why? Because David was promised in 2 Samuel 7 that he would have a son who would sit on the throne of David forever. And that's exactly what the angel Gabriel came and said to Mary when he was telling her that she was going to have a son. So if you just go through Matthew, and we'll go through it a little bit, kind of capture what it looks like to be a king. And so all through the gospel of Matthew, he's being presented as a king. Here's another hint. So at the beginning, we get a hint because of the genealogy. This is the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David.
And right? A lot of times people will skip over that.
Yeah, people skip over genealogies.
Yeah, it's like, well, I don't need to know this, but we do.
Oh, yeah, there's a reason every word in Scripture is in there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. It's like when they start talking about like measuring the tabernacle and the temple and giving all those instructions. Right. Like, but there's a reason for it all. I mean, if we can unlock those secrets, we can know more about God. Because God is so complex, we have no idea. Here's an interesting thing. So I said at the start, Matthew introduces the son of David. And by the way, that genealogy that's given there, that genealogy is the genealogy of Joseph, right? Mm-hmm. It's not the genealogy of Mary. Right. And we'll get into that because there's a reason why Joseph was chosen to be the adopted father of Jesus. And I say that Joseph didn't adopt Jesus. Jesus adopted Joseph, right? And then when we get to the end, you know what you don't see in Matthew? You see no presentation or no talk of the ascension, right? The last thing it says is Jesus gives that command, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And then here's the end. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. But it never talks about his ascension. Why? Because a king is the king of this world, right? And so there's no liftoff, in other words.
Right.
All right, the second is Mark. And
Mark, so wait, before we go there, can you give us any characteristic of Matthew?
Yeah, let's save that for one, because it's a little more in-depth.
Got it.
You know, it talks about just like the presentation, you know. So Mark, this is kind of, we're kind of just introducing it in this off the cuff, but Mark, he is called the servant. And Mark is the only gospel without a genealogy. There's no genealogy at all. You're introduced to John the Baptist, and then here we go.
So let me ask this and tell me if this is the right time. So a lot of times, like washing of the feet, it's only in one gospel.
Right. So we'll get to that. Get to John.
Right, this is the introduction.
Right. No. We'll even talk about it when we get to John. You can ask that question.
All right. Because
we're only on Mark right now. And the washing of the feet is not in Mark. You would think it would be because he's the servant, right? But here's what he is. He's not the servant of men. He's the servant of God, right? And so he takes his...
that's a bell ringer right there.
Yeah, here's an interesting one. In Mark, he says, no, they ask him when shall be the sign of the end and the sign of your coming and you know that. He goes, no one knows, not even the Son of Man, only my Father knows. Why does he say that? Because he's speaking as a servant. Like a servant takes orders from his master. And so he's the servant of the Lord. So in other words, and that's how he's presenting himself all through the Gospel of Mark. And by the way, the Gospel of Mark is Peter's Gospel. So Mark is John Mark, who was with Paul on the, remember when Paul was on his missionary journey and John Mark was part of the team because I think he was the nephew of Barnabas, and you know he wasn't faithful, so basically Paul kicked him off the team, and he went back to Jerusalem, and you know imagine getting kicked off the team.
Right.
He goes back to Jerusalem, and guess who disciples him? Peter. Guess who flubbed up in the Gospels the most, Peter. Right? Peter. So Peter takes him under his wing, and we know this is Peter because it's an action gospel. Mm-hmm. Like the word that's used repeatedly in the Gospel of Mark is immediately. Immediately,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's, why? Because Peter is a man of action. There's like no, but that's why he was the natural leader.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was willing to try to walk on water, right?
And to me, he wasn't afraid to make a mistake.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if I would want all my mistakes recorded like his, but
yeah.
I would, it would be great to talk to Peter on your worst day because you could tell him all your troubles and Peter would say, you think that's something?
Yeah. Let me tell you.
How would you like to deny the Lord three times?
Yeah,
right?
And everybody knows.
And everybody knows. It's recorded in posterity, right?
Right, exactly.
So then we get to Luke. And Luke is actually written later, and Luke was not one of the 12, but he may have seen Jesus. We don't know. You know, he may have seen Jesus. He became Paul's personal doctor in Paul's missionary journeys. But he's a scientist. You know, he's a historian. He's, you know, he's very exacting. So it says at the start that he investigated. He interviewed Mary to find out, you know, that yeah. all, and so we get in there the story of Gabriel, we get the story of the birth of John the Baptist, we get details that we don't get in any other, and here's what Luke represents. The favorite title that Jesus had of himself was Son of Man. So in Luke, he is the perfect man, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how he's being presented. He's being presented as this is what you were supposed to be. And another characteristic of Luke is it's the gospel of prayer. Like if you want to learn about prayer and the life of the prayers of Jesus, go to the gospel of Luke because there's so much teaching on prayer. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's wrap up with John. Okay. So we have the king is Matthew. The servant is Mark. The perfect man, the Son of Man, is Luke. And then the last gospel written. So the other gospels were written 45, 50, 55, somewhere in there, like a 15-year range.
Right.
John, the Gospel of John is not written until like 85 to 90 AD. So it's like 50 years, 60 years after the church has begun. And so what had happened is there was a lot of heresy at that point kind of creeping into the church. And there was a question, was Jesus really God? We know he was a fantastic teacher. You know, we know he was a wonderful example. We know he gave wise advice. But was he really God?
And that question is still alive today with other religions.
All right. But here's how John opens John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word is a picture of Jesus. He's the Logos. He's the human Word being presented. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then all throughout the Gospel of John, there's a demonstration of the power of Jesus He rules over everything, and he's being presented as God. In fact, he closes his book with all the miracles. He says, because there's only like, you know, 7 to 9 miracles in the Gospel of John. And he says, and many other things Jesus did, but if they were written down, all the books in the world could not contain them. So John is really the gospel of God, Jesus as God.
And it's often the starting point, right? People say, start at John. If you want to start reading the Bible, and tell me if this is wrong, many people say, start at the Gospel of John.
Because it presents Jesus as God,
mm-hmm.
You know? So he's not just a man, he's not just a teacher, he's not just a great example. So for instance, in John, there's no Gethsemane, right?
Right.
Why? Because God wouldn't do that, right?
Yeah, so that's the gardens for people that
right. are... Right, so the Garden of Gethsemane, where he says, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, right. not my will, but your will be done. There's no Gethsemane in John. Why? Because he's being presented as God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we know that Jesus, tears of blood came, and that would not be godlike? Is that why it's not there, or what?
Yeah, I mean, he just wouldn't go through that...
torment.
Yeah, right. Remember, when he's the servant, or in Matthew, there's that whole thing. But no, in John, he's being presented as the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. That's all in John, right? And then, verse 14 of chapter 1, and the Word became flesh. So here's what that's saying. And God became flesh. It's the explanation. And there is a genealogy. So we said there is a genealogy in Matthew, which is Joseph's genealogy. There's one in Luke, which is Mary's genealogy, which is also, we'll explain that a little bit later on another session. And the genealogy in John is, there's only two persons involved. The Father, the Word was with God, and the Son. There's only two in the genealogy. That's it.
Yeah. That's a great distinction right there too. That really is. That's something that I need to marinate on later on. And I'm sure you have the same thing. You probably want to marinate on some of this. All right. So do we cover everything from the introduction?
Yeah, I think we're good on the introduction.
Okay. So at this time, we're gonna break. And next time, we'll come back and I'll ask some of those questions that John said. Okay, we'll get over that next time. We'll talk about that next time. So on behalf of John Bell, I'm Dean Vitale saying thanks for listening. We look forward to you joining us again next time.